It's a pleasure always to gather with God's people on a Sunday morning, and usually I just come to this service, but when I get to speak, I have to come to both services, and there's something about a group of people pouring out their heart to God. It's a good place to be, and it's good to go to the house of the Lord and to stand in his presence. So I'm filling in for our Pastor Paul today. Please remain in prayer for him as we just continue to go through this journey of life. This morning I'm going to wrap up John 16. We've been working through the book of John as a church in a sermon series titled His Last Will and Testament. These are the last things that Jesus says before he goes to the cross. And so it starts back in chapter 12 of John with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it goes all the way up to the end of chapter 17 where he's arrested in the garden. It's this period of time, these last words with the disciples. And it's our mission as a church for all to know Jesus Christ, to experience his power, and to be his image in the world. And I like to remind us of that mission statement because it's kind of like when we think about Israel coming out of Egypt. God set them free from slavery, and he brought them out so that they could know him and worship him. And for 40 years, they traversed the desert, and they were tried. Their faith was tried. The Bible says that this is a fiery trial of our faith. Every man's work is tried by fire to test what sort it is. And we know that not all of them that left Egypt got to the promised land. But in that journey, we see that a testimony of God leading a people. And this is where we are. In our past, Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. And when you place your faith in him, when you believe in Jesus Christ, he starts you on a journey. And as a church, a group of guys got together and they started this journey asking God where to go, what to do, what should a church look like, what should we be. And, you know, I'm just constantly reminded, and even this morning in our adult Sunday school class, that if we're not careful, we can get stuck in our repetition, in our habits of life, and we don't hear what God's saying to us. We miss that. We miss that intimacy that God longs for each and every one of us. So we're going to wrap up this last nine verses of John 16. And I'll read through them quick and we'll say a quick prayer. And I'm going to hustle. So I need you to try to hold with me. Because you know how they say in those moments where near death, your life flashes in front of your eyes. And so like, 80 years, 40 years, 30 years can be summed up in a few seconds and you can see it all. I want to try to paint that picture this morning. And with me, I know it's hard, like when somebody's talking to me, if it's more than one sentence, I've forgotten where they started. Like, you know, I got to write it down. But I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit to do what he has to do because it's not me speaking that you want to hear, but you need to hear the Word of God in the Spirit of God that's in me. So we're going to hustle through this. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know. All right, you ready for a good time? Church is fun, right? We're going to learn something, and we're going to pray that God speaks to us, because I can't do it. I try to do voice-to-text with Suri. It doesn't go well. I remember texting my wife once. I said, the phone doesn't understand my accent. And I believe it texted her that I had been in an accident. And I said, no, accent. And it said, accident. So here we go. Maybe there's an interpreter present. John 16, we're starting in verse 25, working through 33. Here we go. Though I have been speaking figuratively a time, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, though I have been speaking figuratively, in other translations it says in similitudes, the same as, this thing is like, you know, he does that a lot. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a treasure in a field and he goes and he sells everything that he owns. And even in my life growing up in church, I didn't understand what that verse meant, even though I had heard the words, until it was applicable to my own life and I had found that treasure. And then you understand, you're like, oh, I get what that means, right? This is a lot of what Jesus is saying to him. He says, I've been speaking figuratively, but the time is coming when I'll no longer use this kind of language. We'll tell you plainly about the Father, and that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and I'm going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you're speaking plainly. Now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you don't even need someone to ask you questions or to question you. This makes us believe that you come from God. Jesus said, do you now believe? Do you now believe? That's our title this morning. And so Jesus says, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each one to your own home. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So I'm going to focus on verse 31. Do you now believe? So we're coming to the end of Jesus' ministry of walking with these three guys. And as I go back and I look and I think about the 3 years of ministry and everything that we find in the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everything that we see written in there about Jesus and his time walking with his disciples, it's coming to a point. It's coming to the head of, this is the purpose for which he came. You know, Jesus says, I did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give my life is a ransom for many. This is the reason that Jesus is here. It's the reason that God sent him. So I'm going to go through a bunch of verses, and if you want them at the end or have any questions, just let me know. I can give them all to you. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, the disciples, they're on a boat in a bad storm, and they wake Jesus up, and they say, Master, Master, don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus gets up, and he rebukes the storm, and he looks at him, and he says, you of little faith, where's your faith? Do you believe now? Just calm the storm. Matthew 8, 26, Matthew 16, 6 through 11, the disciples are walking with Jesus, and he tells them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And leaven is what's used in bread, like yeast, and it causes it to puff up. And in the Old Testament, it's used as synonymous, as a similitude, a figure of speech to represent pride. So on the night that they were to leave Egypt, when they sacrificed the lamb, they painted the doorpost with blood. They went in and they swept their house clean to make sure there was no yeast in their house. And this is a similitude of what we need to do in our hearts. Everyone who believes in Jesus purifies himself as he is pure. There is this sanctification process when we invite God in that never ends, because we are infinitely wicked. In the Bible, we see Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Even when I want to do what is good, that sin is present with me. Who can save me from this wretchedness, from the sin of this flesh? He says, thank God for Jesus Christ. So he tells them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And so they start this discussion that they think he's talking, that he's mad at them because they didn't bring bread. And Jesus, he looks at him, he says, it's absurd. He says, don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the five loaves or the 5,000s and how many baskets of bread and fish that you collected? Don't you remember the 7 loaves and the 4,000 people and how many large baskets you collected? Why don't you understand what I told you? When I said beware the leaven of the Pharisees, it's not about bread. How could they think that? It's like they don't hear what Jesus is saying. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, he comes to Jesus at night. And he says to Jesus, we know that you're of God. Nobody can do what you're doing and not be of God. In fact, when they come in, you know, the triumphal entry, when they come in, the leaders of the church there, right, the synagogues, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're plotting to kill Lazarus because of his testimony that he had been raised from the dead, because everybody was going to Jesus. And they were losing their authority and their position, and it scared them to death, and they were going to kill a man that had been brought back from the dead. The heart is exceedingly sinful and wicked. Who can know it? And Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And this isn't a figurative speech. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. And we are all, the Bible says, baptized into one Spirit. And this is the Spirit of God. This is the purpose for which Jesus has come. But Nicodemus couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. And Jesus says, if I tell you about earthly things and you cannot understand, how can I tell you about heavenly things? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 19, Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus responds to this by saying, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And also, I say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now this is an amazing statement filled with power that Jesus is saying, here, Peter, take the power, take the keys to the kingdom. You do it, man. You set people loose. You rebuke the devil. You open the doors. Because you got a hold of something. You believe that I am the Son of God. There's power in that. It's by faith from first to last. Sometimes we forget that. You know, the Galatians forgot it. There was a moment in your life where you need Jesus and you cry out to him for help. And he shows up and he helps us. And what do? We're like them 9 lepers that went back to whatever it was we were doing. We forget. We've got to keep calling on Jesus. And so we see this in Peter. He makes this profession of faith, and Jesus makes this great proclamation that he's got the keys to the kingdom. And you skip one verse from 19 to 21, and Jesus says he begins to tell his disciples that it's necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. And Jesus knew where he was going. The Bible says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Can you imagine if this was the last 9 hours of your life and you knew you were going to leave here and be tortured to an inch of your life, beaten, smacked, spit on, ridiculed, paraded in front of a group of people, and then nailed to a cross? For people that were screaming, crucify him, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is how we know what love is. We love because he first loved us. There's no greater love than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And here's Jesus, and they don't get it. they don't understand. And so Peter rebukes Jesus. He pulls him aside and he says, no, Jesus, you can't die. Never. That's not going to happen on my watch. I'm with you to the end. I got my sword. I'll be cutting people's ears off. And so from one minute, Jesus goes to saying, you're the rock. On this I will build my church, to get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the purposes and the things of God. You're looking to what man wants. And so often that's what we're praying for. We've got our desires. We know what we want. We want, you know, to have, you know, not just manna for today, but manna for the year. We want to be able to retire when we're a certain age. We don't want to worry or stress about life. And so we don't really want to get up each day and say, oh, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We're so used to going to a store that's just packed full of food. We've become self-reliant. We've quit crying out to God. We've quit going into the prayer closet in secret. Get behind me, Satan. So harsh. Do you now believe? Matthew 17, chapter 17, verse 16, a man comes to Jesus with a child possessed with a demon that is mute and dumb and often throws himself in the fire. And he says, Jesus, I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. And Jesus replies, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Ouch. Who was he talking to? The demon-possessed kid? The father that wants his son healed? To his disciples that were powerless? How long will I put up with you? After the boy was healed, the disciples got alone with him and they asked, why couldn't we drive it out? And he says, because you lack faith. This kind comes out by prayer and fasting. What do you really want? Do you now believe? I want to turn our attention just to the book of John that we've been working through. I'm going to start back at chapter 13 and just kind of work up to where we're at. Chapter 13, Jesus announces that he realizes that his time has come to fulfill his purpose. This is why he's come. So he's trying to prepare his disciples for what's about to happen, because he knows that when the shepherd is struck, that the sheep are going to scatter, and that they'll be without a shepherd. And it's breaking his heart. He's praying for him. And here's Peter. Nah, nothing's going to happen to you. I'm here to the end. He's got to look at Peter and say, no, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. But I've prayed for you, Peter, that when you turn back, how often do we turn away from Jesus? How often do we forget God? How often do we get caught up in life and we go through the motions and in the routines and we forget. Chapter 13, Jesus says his time has come. He's returning to the Father. And he says, you will look for me and you will not find me where I am. Where I am, you cannot come. And he gives them a new command, love one another as I have loved you. Tells Peter that you can't come now, but you will come later. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and you know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. And then his disciple Thomas says, we don't know where you're going or how can we know the way? If we don't know where you're going, how can we know the way? See, we're on a journey to get to a promised land. Do you know where we're going? Do you know how to get there? Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You have to abide in Christ. And how do we abide in Christ? Is it a mystery? Is it profound? Is it deep? Jesus goes around and he washes each of their feet. Peter's like, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you've got no, you're not with me. Peter's like, well, not just my feet, everything. And Jesus is like, no, just your feet's fine. Then he tells him, as you have seen me do, do also to one another. Love one another the way I've loved you. And this is the challenge for the church. You know, we come together and we talk about Jesus, but today you will leave here and you'll be surrounded by people. Can you love them unconditionally the way that Jesus loved you? Husbands, can you lay down your lives for your wife like Jesus did for the church? Can we love? And the answer to that is no, you can't. But you can pray. You can invite Jesus in. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. It's all Jesus. If there's any good in me, it's Jesus. If there's any good in you, it's Jesus. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and you know where I'm going and how to get there. And Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How can we get there? Chapter 14, verses 6 through 7, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you also know the Father. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Jesus says this because he's made him known. And Philip says, show us the Father and it'll be enough. Like they've been walking with Jesus for three years. He's raised people from the dead. He's taught them like insane, crazy things. And they're like, yeah, show us the Father. And Jesus is like, why can't you see me? What is it that blinds you from seeing the light? This is the verdict, that light shines into the darkness, but men love darkness more than they love the light because their deeds are evil, so they don't come into the light. And even though he's right in front of them, they're having trouble seeing him. And in 14, we figured out why. We get to the promise of the counselor of the Holy Spirit. They can't see because it's a spiritual thing. And apart from the Spirit, you can't even understand. You have to, by faith, ask Jesus to help you. And he'll give you his Spirit. He'll open your eyes the way he did open the eyes of Saul on the road to Damascus. He'll open your eyes to his word and he'll give you understanding. So he promises the coming of the Spirit. How can you say, show us the Father? Philip, have I been among you all this time and you don't know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? At least believe for the sake of the works. It's not me, it's the Father in me. The words aren't my words, they're the words the Father gives me. Chapter 14, verse 12, he says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me, the works that I have been doing, they will do even greater works than these. Because I am going to the Father. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I want to backtrack quickly to the end of John 16, when he says, in that day, you'll ask in my name. I'm not saying I'll ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believe that I've come from God. And so if we go to the cross, if we move forward, I didn't go as fast as I needed to. You see all these pages here. So we come to the cross, and it says that Jesus cries out with a loud voice. And at that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in half from top to bottom. And this curtain separated the holy place where the priest served from the Holy of Holies, in which the high priest would only enter into once a year to offer a sacrifice on the Ark of the Covenant for the sins of the people. And in the Holy of Holies, this is the place where the presence, the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. And if anybody just happenstance to walk in there, just like the guy that reached out to study the Ark of the Covenant, it just killed them. Because nobody could come into God's presence and live, because there's something about God's holiness that when we stand in front of it, we're such a sinful people that it just destroys us. That we needed a mediator, that we needed the blood of Jesus Christ, a perfect sacrifice. And it separated the thing that kept us from the presence of God. And he doesn't have to tell God what we say. He's saying, come in. Come into this relationship. Be one with me as I'm one with God. Be one, church. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these things that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who are held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. If Jesus' ministry had ended when he died, that would have been the end of Christianity. Those guys went back to what they were doing. But we know that love is greater than death. Man, can we abide in something powerful? You know, it's so easy to get jaded and to just have a negative attitude and to not look out at God's creation and see the beauty that's there and to see the opportunity that lays before us. If we could encourage one another while it's called today, if we would hear his voice and answer. Jesus is waiting for us to seek him with our whole heart, because he's made a way for us through his blood. And he has poured out his life to give us his spirit. And that's available to each and every person today. I think Jesus is still saying, now, do you believe? And we can look at the church throughout history and even our own lives. And there's a lot of times that we don't, that we're caught up in something else, and we get distracted. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we just pray that we would understand what you're saying. That you would remove the veil that's over our eyes, the bondage of sin that holds us in slavery, Lord. You said you've come to set the captives free, and that power that you poured out on the first church is still the same. You're the same God. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Spirit. And Father, we pray that we'll be a church that is illuminated by your love. And we can't go out and muster that in our own strength, Lord. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Jesus, we call on your name today, and we ask that you would give us more of your Spirit, that you would open our eyes, that you would call us to a deeper walk with you, that you would make us the church that you desire us to be, that you would convict us of sin, that you would knit us together as a group of believers, that in our lives outside of this church, that others would see our love. That we would love because you first loved us, because you went to the cross for sinners. You poured out your life. Oh God, help us to follow you to that cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, as we close, we're going to sing one last chorus. I invite you to stand if you'd like. Our prayer team is going to come up, and we're a church that believes in the power of prayer. So if you need prayer over anything, you want someone to pray with this morning, they're going to be up here at the front as we're closing this morning. But let's sing this out together. It's your breath in our